Well, welcome to the Students Coach Podcast. Jared and Eric here. I don't know why I said your name first when I'm Eric, but that doesn't matter. And we are joined by two very special guests. We have two real life, honest to goodness, members of Gen Z in the studio with us.
Yes.
Matt Hawkins and Sophia, whose last name is?
Frank.
Should have been able to do that, but I wasn't. We're gonna keep it in, because that's how we roll. But they are on loan to us like specimens from a zoo so that we can interview them about their generation. So you two speak for your entire generation. No pressure, but if you get it wrong, they will all hate you.
Sounds good.
Excellent.
Love it.
What an intro.
Yeah. Jared, it's your job to right the ship. Where do we go next?
Okay, because ladies are first. Sophia, why don't you say hi to everybody. Tell us a little bit about yourself really quick.
Yeah, I'm Sophia. I go to Mountain Ridge High School. I do theater there. I'm a theater kid, theater nerd, whatever you want to call it. That pretty much takes up all of my time in high school, but I'm also a junior high coach, and I love being at church on the weekends, and that is pretty much my entire weekend. So, yeah, that's pretty much me.
Love it. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, of course.
Matt?
Yeah, so I'm Matt. I go to Glendale Prep, play football, basketball, junior high coach as well, avid coffee drinker, love to French press, grind my own beans. I don't know.
Eric, you guys were made for each other.
Oh my gosh.
This kid's all right.
Grinds his own beans.
Like a man.
That's right. Only way to drink it.
I promised these guys I'd bring them Starbucks, and it was 112 degrees outside walking in to the studio today, and I had an extra large hot black coffee for someone from Gen Z.
Yes. Drinking black coffee.
That's right.
Like a red-blooded American man. Yes. I am so happy. There is hope for America, people. It's going to be okay.
That's awesome. Well, we promise, or at least I promise, I won't make fun of you guys today. I can't speak.
It's probably best that you don't make that promise for me.
But today on the episode, we just want to continue a conversation about Gen Z. We know our last episode, Eric and I ranted about what we've been learning.
Yeah, we were just sharing information. It wasn't too ranty.
Yeah,
maybe.
I guess so.
I don't know. I probably was.
Yeah, no. I think we didn't offend these guys too much, I don't think.
They're here today. They didn't say no after they heard the podcast.
Yes, that was part of the stipulation. I asked Matt and Sophia to listen to the episode. And do you guys mind just sharing a little bit, like, hey, what stuck out to you about that episode? What do you think resonated with you? You think rings true of your generation?
Yeah, for sure. I think you guys talked a lot about us being a fearful generation. I think that was totally spot on. I think from we're afraid about what other people think about us. We have we're afraid about even just like, you know, going out to our car and driving. Like, you don't know, like, oh, is someone going to hit me? Am I going to be able to get to my destination safely? Just a lot of anxiety that comes with that too. The just fears that just go on. Like, that was really real. Really felt related to that as well.
Yeah, you guys mentioned in that episode that the world events that we grew up with, like that, I feel like that results in a lot of that fear. Mm-hmm. Like, are we going to get here safely? Like, are we going to just go to this movie and then something horrible is going to happen? Like, it's like we have grown up in this fearful time, so I feel like that's what shapes us to be kind of more fearful individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Eric talked a little bit about Gen Z being more of a homebody generation. Is that true for you guys?
Yeah, that for sure rings true for me. I love just being at home. Sometimes I'll like bring friends over, but most of the time we'll be at somebody's house just hanging out. We'll watch movies on Netflix instead of going to a movie. Like, we'll order in instead of going out. And even when I'm just with my family, we'll stay at home most of the time. So big, big home buddy.
Yeah, and I think that rings true for me as well. And I think part of that is technology and how accessible everybody is. Because you could just text your friends if you want to talk to them, you know, playing video games online, stuff like that. So it's just really convenient just to stay at home all the time when you don't have to go out and go and do stuff all the time. So.
Why take the risk of leaving the house when you can just hang out with your friends in a cyberspace.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
So was there anything that you heard from the last episode that maybe you would push back on a little bit?
Yeah, I think the Aladdin movie, Eric's take on that. Yes. definitely thought you're just a bit too harsh on it than you should have been, but...
Yeah. I've been told that. Sorry, you were going to say?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. That might have been the theater kid in me that just loved like the costumes and like the theater elements and got really excited and then didn't pay attention to anything else in the movie. So maybe those were the parts that were
I
not
could
good.
I could see how colorful costumes and great choreography could overshadow extremely slow storytelling and horrific singing and unnecessarily modified terrific songs from 20 years ago. I could see how some baggy Aladdin pants could totally make you overlook all that. I get it. I do. I realize I'm the minority opinion. I still think I'm right.
What else?
I don't know that there's necessarily anything else that I would really push back on necessarily. I feel like a lot of the stereotypes and things that people say about our generation are at least partially true. They may not be wholly true or completely true, but everything you guys said had some sort of like partial like truth, or I felt like, oh, like that's totally me, or that's totally somebody I know. And even if it's not completely like a blanket statement over everyone in the generation, it rings true with somebody in the generation. So. Mm.
Yeah, cool.
And I think kind of going a little backtracking a little bit, another thing I agreed about is like the stances that we take. It's almost like no one takes a definitive stance on something because you guys hit on it. Like, we don't want to offend other people, right? We want to be inclusive with everyone, just show love to everyone. And then and if we see someone who is taking that firm stance, they're kind of a little bit outcasted is kind of what I see. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. Going off of that, I feel like that makes it a little bit harder to like proclaim your faith, and especially like going to a public school, you don't want to like force like anything on anybody else, and you want to make sure everybody feels included and nobody feels isolated from a conversation. So you don't want to like be the church kid in every conversation, but you kind of do. You want to stand out, and we just like did the whole rebel series in high school, and you want to be a rebel for Jesus. But that kind of makes it a little bit harder because you don't want to like offend anybody else or force your beliefs on anybody else either.
Yeah, so there's this tension of I want to be bold for my relationship with Jesus, but I don't want to offend people. So that's a tension that you guys live in every day.
Mm-hmm.
Completely makes sense.
Yeah.
Completely makes sense. Good for us as coaches to be aware of that for sure. Okay. Good stuff. Well, can we dive in just to a couple more themes that we see in Gen Z, and maybe just ask a little bit of your guys' opinion and a little bit of your guys' insight? Because again, like as coaches, we have to be aware of who this generation is that we are leading right now. We've got Gen Xers, we've got a couple baby boomer coaches,
still rocking,
millennials, and we have to engage in Gen Z. So. Digitally connected. This is Gen Z. Mm-hmm. They're constantly connected in their phones. How do you guys see this playing out in your own life and maybe your friends, your peers at school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think technology, that's the big thing now. Always some new iPhone coming out, always new, some game system. And like you see it at parties, like everyone's looking down on their phone. You even see it like walking into a church lobby. All these kids are like huddled up in circles and they're all looking at their phone. It's actually kind of funny to me because I kind of like face-to-face interactions. So seeing everyone on their phone, you're like, man, am I boring to you or, you know?
Yeah, I feel like same goes for me. I'll look down, like, well, I'll be hanging out at like a friend's house and I'll look down the couch and there's just a row of people on their phones not talking to each other. And it feels kind of weird almost. Mm-hmm. I feel like that hasn't always been the case, but I feel like I've seen that develop to where it used to be like a small issue and now everyone's in their phones all the time.
Yeah, and always swiping up on the refresh button, always wanting to be the first to know something and like telling other people about it and sharing it. I think that's another reason why we're always on our phones so much, because we want to be the first to know what's going on in the world as well.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you ever, when you're in that, like sitting on a couch and everyone's on their phone, if you want to say something to a person on the other side of the couch, do you just like
text them? Yep.
Text them, even though you're sitting right there.
That's happened.
Just making sure. Mm-hmm. Just trying to understand the generation. Yes. Makes perfect sense.
Okay, what are they doing on their phones in these situations?
Social media, definitely. Almost 100% of the time, it's Instagram, it's Twitter, it's Snapchat. Snapchatting the people next to them, people that aren't there. And I feel like we talked about a little bit earlier before we sat down about like Snapchat and how almost like texting has taken the shift out of the picture and it's been replaced with like Snapchat. And you almost can get someone to respond on Snapchat easier than it is to get them to respond to a text. Mm-hmm.
Which is so crazy because I think like, oh, I want to get a hold of like a younger person. Like I think back to like when I'm communicating to coaches in the past, I send text messages. And what you just said, Sophia, is we've moved on from that world.
Texts are for old people.
Yes.
That's right.
Just making sure I understand.
So for the Gen Xer or the millennial, texting is the new email. Mm-hmm. It's the formal way to communicate.
Yeah.
And snapping, DMing becomes much more casual.
Yeah, if you want to reach your students, it's probably better to almost go through some sort of social media channel. You're going to get them a lot faster that way than you are over a text message.
Yeah.
That is worth the price of admission right there.
Yep. And that concludes the episode. Everybody, go download Snapchat. Wow. Okay. So how else? What other things, like think creatively for just a second. How can our coaches build trust with their students digitally?
Yeah. So I think a big thing is, you know, with social media, like posting stuff about their students. Like for me, you know, going to one of my junior hires games and like getting a picture with him afterwards and then posting something like, hey, you know what? You killed it at the game. Super proud of, you know, this young man. When we do stuff like that and we show them that, one, we care about them enough to go to their game, but also afterwards posting something about them and kind of bragging on them, that's just huge for building that relationship and building that trust with them.
Great example.
Yeah.
Sophia, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I just remember the first time, like, it was a Super Saturday. It was, like, a donut-themed Super Saturday, and I took a picture of all my girls with their little, like, donut, like, blow-up thing, and I posted it on my Instagram, and they just, like, flipped. They were so excited, and it's weird because I don't think of myself as any sort of, like, popular social media, like, person, but, like, they got super excited when I posted about them, and like you said, like, it just makes them feel, like, accepted in a different way.
I think also, you know, just liking and commenting on their posts as well, they see like, oh, hey, you know, Matt's looking at my post and saying something about it, like, that's just really cool. I don't know.
It's almost like your interaction with them or the shout out or whatever you give them is as much or maybe even a bigger deal than like in-person stuff that you do.
Yeah, a student sees like their the coach that's closest to their age as like the coolest thing in the world. Like when I was in junior high, my high school coach was like the coolest girl ever. Like I wanted to be like her. And Jenny, who's still my high school youth coach, like she's like my second mom. But my high school junior high coach was like the coolest person, like who I wanted to be.
Wow, that's awesome. Shifting gears to a much more sad topic. I didn't have a smooth segue, so I'm just gonna jerk the wheel and here we go. Anxiety, and we talked about fear a little bit, but you in general are a very anxious generation. So speak a little bit about how you see that affecting the world around you. Like, how does anxiety play out in your lives?
Yeah, so something we talked about earlier is a big thing. You get a lot of anxiety with school because I feel like there's a lot of pressure on our generation. It's like, oh, you have to go to college. You have to get this amazing job. You have to, and it turns into, oh, you know what? I didn't do too well on this one test. I missed like two or three problems. And then you end up having like a breakdown because you're like, man, this is going to ruin my entire future. Like, I don't know how I'm going to provide for my future family and just like all these hypotheticals that you just keep building up and it's just, you know, a snowball effect almost, so.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes from a missed test question to a failed test and then a failed class and then getting held back or not getting that scholarship and then now I'm in debt and like it's like this whole weird spiral like out of control and like I'm still taking the quiz. I didn't even fail the quiz yet and I'm like I'm in debt. Like my life's ruined. Like,
you're mid-test.
I'm mid-test.
Seeing yourself 10 years from now homeless somewhere.
Yeah. Under a bridge.
Wow. So it's like thinking in worst case scenarios.
And I think also with the social media, like the self-image and the appearance that you have to deal with too, like, oh, you know, I have to post like the best highlights from my game. I have to make sure I'm using the right filters on my photo or I have the perfect caption that I look over 20 times before I finally hit post. I think that's another huge one as well.
I would say especially for girls, like, and definitely for guys too, but especially for girls, this whole like self-image on social media thing, like constantly comparing yourself to like that girl that's prettier than you and I have to stand this way in this picture or tilt my head this way because like this is my good angle and like the way that you position yourself and edit that picture and like it just causes this whole, that's another spiral out of control. To get acceptance from people based on your social media profile.
I've heard stories about that, of like groups of girls in particular who were just taking like 30, 40 of the same picture.
Oh yeah.
And then they like go back to the workshop where they like go through them and find, okay, this is the best one and here's the filter. Yeah. And then they compose the perfect caption and it's like a 3-hour process to post something to Instagram.
Yeah.
And all the while there's this anxiety about like, how are people going to perceive this? And will this get enough likes? And that's all true?
Yeah. I'm guilty of putting probably each picture through like 2 to 3 editing apps before it makes it to Instagram. And when you like say it out loud or think about it, it seems so silly. But everyone does it. I know plenty of guys too that edit their pictures in the same way. And it's just all about how other people perceive you. Like it becomes this thing that's not even for yourself anymore. It's just for the approval of other people.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was not judging for the record. I was trying to confirm that was widespread and not 100%. Just a story I heard.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's completely legit. True. And I know we've talked about this some, Sophia, but you've actually like been super bold with how you use social media personally too. Didn't you like even remove a lot of social media?
Yeah, I think it might actually be a whole year now. I deleted my Twitter, or like I didn't delete the account, but I completely got rid of the app and I stopped using it. It's like probably what I see is the most toxic social media app. I feel like there's just not a whole lot of regulation of what people can post on there. And then I didn't have the best circle of friends around that time, so then it just added to the toxicity, and getting rid of it was actually a really good decision for me. And slowly, like, moving myself more towards using Snapchat less, too, because of what I said earlier, it's, like, replacing, like, face-to-face contact, and even text messaging now is being replaced with social media, so.
Is there, in doing all of that, is there also this anxiety that you or someone would fight? Like, well, now I'm going to miss out, or I'm not going to know what people are saying, or like,
yeah.
There's this is good for me, but it also makes me really anxious because I don't know what's happening over here.
Yeah, when I first got rid of Twitter, and still now, like, there's these like weird trends or sayings that go around, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, oh, it's from Twitter. And I go, ah, see, I don't have that anymore. I don't know what you're talking about, and it sounds ridiculous. but yeah, that used to be something I was so into and so obsessed with, and I knew all like the weird like memes and phrases and stuff that went around, but I kind of removed from that now and it feels a lot better. Yeah.
So it's worth pushing through that fear.
Yeah.
To just be like, oh, I don't know what that reference is.
Yeah.
But in general, my life is way better.
Yeah. The FOMO was real. it was really real for the first like few months. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting left out of these conversations and these events and things that are happening. But once I push through that, like, it's better overall. So
that's huge. That's huge. And I think that should give our coaches like some hope that we can challenge our students to make bold moves with social media.
Yeah, and I think that was either something you or Dustin said at CIY. You know, I think you challenged everyone, like, what's holding you back from growing your relationship with Jesus? So that night, I decided, all right, gone with all social media, because if I thought about it, just like what Sophia was saying, like it's just you're always in this toxic mentality. And instead of being that, I said, I want to be closer to God. So getting rid of that, that's just one of the things that's helped me grow even more in my relationship with God. Because instead of worrying about what my self-image is, worrying about the FOMO, right? The FOMO is real. Instead of doing that, I can focus more on, you know, how can I grow with God? How can I share him with other people as well?
Mm-hmm. That's huge. Hey, you guys, thank you for being bold. Like seriously, it's encouraging just to listen to you guys and your story. I hope our coaches are inspired and encouraged that they can make big asks of their students. And I think we should all be hopeful because the message of Jesus and the hope that he provides in a world that is fearful and anxious is so unique and so needed and so valuable. So Jesus shines bright in kind of this kind of darkness that we're mm-hmm. talking about. So I hope that's good news for us. Let's go into one last thing, and then we're going to be done. We know that Gen Z learns a little bit differently than my generation learned. Can you guys speak to that a little bit?
Yeah,
so I think a big thing is us as Gen Zers, we want to know how to do it on our own. So instead of going to ask mom and dad, hey, how do I do this? Like, we're going straight to YouTube, going straight to Google. Like, how-to videos, like, I think that's, like, one of the most popular things on YouTube. Just trying to figure out things on our own as well. I think that's a huge way how we learn.
I would say part of, like, craving that independence and the ability to learn on our own, church has really like bought into that recently, especially like being here at CCV, I think is such a blessing. Because not only do students get to hear the message, they get to go into a group time after and they're asked questions and they're challenged to think of things on their own that maybe weren't even said in the message. And now they're gonna take it further and challenge their faith and come up with even more things. And that has really helped me grow because I am a very visual, hands-on learner as like most of my generation probably is. And it makes things a lot easier when people are walking me through it, like my coaches are walking me through it, and I'm getting to answer those questions and challenge myself further.
So kind of the talking it out that happens in group or mm-hmm. the, okay, I just heard this, but you don't want to just sit and download information.
Yeah.
And then you don't even just want to sit and download information from your coach, but be able to like go back and forth to mm-hmm. ask questions, to sort of like say a thought as you're trying to like wrap your mind around mm-hmm. here's how I apply this from scripture or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's where it's at for you.
Mm-hmm. I can't just process what I'm being told. Like even like lecture style learning just doesn't work for me anymore. I can't just hear something. I have to go do it or I have to go ask questions about it. So yeah, it's very different from, I know like a lot of teaching used to be very lecture style, but now teachers are kind of having to find a way to make everything hands-on and visual because I feel like that's the way that our generation learns. Mm-hmm.
So the message to coaches is make sure your group time isn't you preaching a second message, mm-hmm. But really like letting students speak and think and ask questions and trying to coax that out of them. We know some students will just clam up and don't mm-hmm. want to talk, and yeah. that's going to happen, but don't just be talking yeah. at your students.
Yeah. And we have to point to good resources to help them learn on their own.
Yeah.
That's why we're investing so much as a church in Bible reading plans mm-hmm. that, Eric, I know you spend a ton of time working on. It's why we're trying things like the Streetlights Bible and trying to get students to listen to the Bible on their own. And even more resources, there's all kinds of great resources online. One of my favorites right now is just the Bible Project.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's just a great visual teaching some pretty in-depth theology. What a great resource for our coaches to point to our students. You don't have to mm-hmm. you don't have to preach the lesson, but you could sit down and watch something with them, or you can send out a link on Snapchat.
don't text them.
Don't text them.
They'll never use it. Like, why is my grandma texting?
Yeah, so thinking about how are we resourcing this generation mm-hmm. to not just learn from us, but learn on their own.
No, especially on YouVersion with the Bible Plan apps, because you get to read the devotional, read the scripture, and then mm-hmm. if you're doing a plan with friends, you get to say, you know, what do you think about this? And you get to type in and think for yourself. So I think those Bible plans are huge in wanting to learn more about God and just to grow more in our faith as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey guys, I think we're gonna wrap up this episode. But again, I just wanna say thank you so much for sitting down with us today. And I know it was so intimidating knowing that you're gonna have to sit with Eric Voris.
I'm a very, very frightening man. I get it.
And he said some offensive things about Aladdin, so that's right. I'm sorry.
I stand by everything I said.
More importantly, thanks for being coaches. What you guys do and the model that you set for our next generation, our junior high students right now, makes a huge difference. And, you know, a lot of those students that are in your groups right now are going to be the ones who are investing in the next generation when they sit in the same seats that you're sitting in. So thank you for what you do. Keep at it, keep engaging Gen Z, and please keep helping our generation be aware of what your generation needs and how we can continue to spread Jesus in this generation. So appreciate you guys.
And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and devoting some time to this. We look forward to dropping another one of these next month, the first Friday in October. And you'll just have to wait and see what that one's all about. But sincerely, thank you for investing the time to grow as a coach. Because we always say, as the coach gets better, the student ministry gets better. So have a great week, great month, and we'll talk to you soon.